Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Gopi Janavallava Giri Varadhari Gopi Janavallava Giri Varadhari Yashoda Nandana Praja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Praja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tera Anachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janavallava Giri Varadhari Yashoda Nandana Praja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janavallava Giri Varadhari Yashoda Nandana Praja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Praja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivraja Gacharya Astatra Satra Sri Srimad Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Gaur Premanandi
Hare Krishna. So we have the good fortune of having His Grace Prajvi Hari Prabhu amidst us. Prabhuji is practicing His Krishna consciousness right from the days when Srila Prabhupada was present on the planet, he has been a disciple of His Grace Bhurijana Prabhu, and he's a conflict resolution practitioner within the International Society for Krishna Consciousness.
11th Canto.
And he founded a project called ISKCON Resolve, which is a conflict management system that includes mediation, ombuds, facilitation and more. What I have heard is Prabhuji is also one of the advisory persons to the American Senate, if I'm not wrong. And this VIHE, Vrindavana Institute for Higher Education, Prabhu and his good wife, they had a great role to play in setting up and starting that initiative. And also running the Vrindavana Gurukula or the school in those days, which has taken now great shape in the form of a big size proper school in Vrindavan. And in my personal connection with him, he has been my teacher for Nectar of Devotion. He came long back to Pune. I don't know whether he remembers. This was Radhesham Pru and our batch where we did Bhakti Shastri with him. Yeah. Very, very nectarian classes. And also, he taught us all these ISKCON Resolve related seminars. So let's welcome Prabhuji by chanting Haribo. Haribo! Haribo! Haribo!
So, I can't read that, so maybe someone else can chant the verse. Oh, okay. Can I keep the phone? Okay. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Oh wait, let's before we do that. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Yuktam cha shanti sarvatra.
Vasante Brahmanayata.
Mayam Madiyam Ugridya.
Varatam kim nu durghatam.
Yuktam cha shanti sarvatra.
Vasante Brahmanayata.
Mayam Madiyam Ugridya.
Paratam kim nu durghatam.
No? Yes? No? Maybe? Okay. So, the word for word, I think we all know what Sri Bhagavan Uvacha means, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said. And then yuktam means responsibly. Cha means even. Santi, they are present. Sarvatra, we all know what that means. What does that mean? Everywhere, yes. Bhashante, they speak. This is an easy one. Brahmana. Very good. Yata means how. And here, the word mayam, it's kind of important, this the way it's used here. The mystic energy, not like the illusory energy, the mystic energy, mayam. Madiyam means my. Udgridya means resorting to. Paratam, of those who speak. Kim means what? Nu, after all. And Durgatam means will be impossible. Right? Like Durga, very difficult, impossible. Okay. So, before we read the translation to this, let's read the first three verses of this chapter. It's a very interesting chapter. You probably are wondering, why did he choose this chapter? It's about the elements of material creation. But I think it'll become clear in a few minutes. So Uddhava asks four questions in this chapter, and this is his first question. He says, "My dear Lord, O Master of the Universe, how many different elements of creation have been enumerated by the great sages?" So the sages have described the universe, the material world in different ways. I have heard you personally describe a total of 28. God, the Jiva soul, the Mahatattva, false ego, the five gross elements, the 10 senses, the mind, the five subtle objects of perception, and the three modes of material nature. But some authorities say that there are 26 elements, while others cite 25, or else 7, 9, 6, 4, or 11, and even others say there are 17, 16, or 13. What did each of these sages have in mind? What were they thinking, basically, as we would say in English? What did these great sages, what did these sages have in mind when he calculated the creative elements in such different ways? O Supreme Eternal, kindly explain this to me. So now we hear Krishna's beginning to reply to Uddhava's question. Okay, and that's what this is here. And so Lord Krishna replied, because all material elements are present everywhere, it is reasonable that different learned brahmanas have analyzed them in different ways. So it's reasonable that there's different explanations. All such philosophers spoke under the shelter of my mystic potency, not his illusory potency, his mystic potency. And thus, they could say anything without contradicting the truth. They could say these different explanations of how the different elements are, and they're not contradicting the truth. So Prabhupada writes, Srila Prabhupada, it's his disciples. The word shanti sarvatra in this verse indicate that all material elements are found within each other in gross and subtle forms. In this way, there are innumerable ways to categorically describe them. There's so many different ways. The material world is ultimately illusory, undergoing constant transformation. It may be measured in different ways, just as the mirage of an oasis may be described in different ways. But the Lord's own analysis of 28 elements is perfect and should be accepted. Srila Jiva Goswami states that the word maya in this verse does not refer to mahamaya, or the potency of ignorance, but to the Lord's inconceivable mystic power, which shelters the learned followers of Vedic knowledge. Each of the philosophers mentioned here reveals a particular aspect of truth, and their theories are not contradictory, since they are simply describing the same phenomena with different categorical systems. Such philosophical disagreement is endless within this material world, thus everyone should unite on the platform of the Lord's own opinion, as stated in this verse. And it goes on there, but we'll stop there. Om agyana timrandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha vanchakalpa turubhyascha kripasindubhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. So, I don't think I need this. So I've always found that this is a very fascinating part of these first few verses of this 11th canto, chapter 22, because you can say it's all about gyan. It's really, for those of us who like to understand all the different aspects of material nature, it's that kind of chapter. It's really a gyan chapter. Of course, the next chapter is really amazing, right, because that's the story of the Avanti Brahmana. But here, we're hearing that there's these different sages that have different, I don't know if they have different opinions, but they have different ways of describing, practically speaking, the same thing. And Krishna here is saying that, no, they're all okay. You can look at things from different points of view. And I thought that that's significant for us as members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and the fact that we're dealing with other devotees and in so many different ways, and we have different opinions about how things should be. So, and what we're going to try to explain in the next few minutes is that also in in the Vaishnava Sangha, we can have different opinions and all of them can be right, or all of them can be appreciated. Now, that doesn't mean that anything anyone says just because they have Kunti Mala and Tilak is correct. We have to, of course, they have to be within the boundaries of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. But let's look at this verse a little bit more. Actually, before we do that, what's an example of, in the Shastra, of looking at the same person or the same thing from different angles of vision? I'm not going to answer that. That's your job. Yes? Ashvatthama's case, yes, actually we're going to talk about that in a few minutes, right? They had different ideas of what should be done. Is that what you mean? Yes? Okay. What's the most famous one? Well, now you... Oh, that's very good. The absolute truth, yes. Vedanti tat tattva vidas tattvam yajnanam avyam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti. So very good. You could look at the absolute truth differently. The four Kumaras. What about the four Kumaras? There was a conflict there. Yeah, I guess, okay, we could say that they were, okay, all right. Yes, Prabhu. Thank you. That's what I was waiting for. Yes. Krishna entering the wrestling arena. And how did Kamsa see Krishna? Who else saw him differently? No, we're still in the wrestling arena. he wanted to skip to Ajamil. Who else was in the wrestling arena? Or who else was observing? The cowherd, the gopis, what did they see? Yeah, so yes, they saw a beautiful Krishna. The cowherd boys also saw differently, right? Yeah, so they were all looking at the same Krishna, but through their point of view, we could say. When we say point of view, it literally means I'm in a certain point and I'm viewing something, and you're in a different point and you're viewing the same thing. Just like in my work, I often talk to policemen who interview people who saw a car accident. And if they interview three people, they often get three different reports about what happened because they're looking at it from different angles of vision. So in this verse, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he comments that why is there a dispute at all? He says, because of Maya's bewilderment. My Maya gives them, and he's talking about in general now, listen to this. My Maya, Krishna says, gives us the ability to be in a dispute for as long as the sun and the moon exist. Right? We can be like that. We can be so fixed in our idea, our perception, that anyone else's perception is bogus, and I'll fight it until as long as the sun and the moon exist. Right? Srila Prabhupada tells the story. I think we're probably all familiar with it, but it's such a nice story of the two men walking near a river and arguing about which is a better cutting instrument, a scissor or a knife, right? And they get very heated about this argument, and finally the person who's fighting for the knife, tattva, decides to push the scissor tattva, voila, into the river. And the man, he swims for a little while, but finally he starts to drown, but what does he do? Yes, right? His last breath, he still has to say, no, scissors. Right? So we can be like that, or as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is saying here, that we can, for as long as the sun and the moon exist. So if we don't learn to settle our differences properly, we can settle them in our next life. Right? Or in many, many lives to come. We can fight with that same person in different bodies. So the question is, can devotees ever find a resolution when there's different points of view? And this is mentioned in just two verses later. Krishna says in the sixth verse, this was the fourth verse, so the sixth verse he says, by interaction of my energies, different opinions arise. But for those who have fixed their intelligence on me and controlled their senses, differences of perception disappear. And consequently, the very cause for argument is removed. So for us, we could add, fixing our intelligence on Krishna, we could also add fixing our intelligence on Srila Prabhupada's instructions. We know from both Prabhupada's purport and from Prabhupada's purport in chapter 2, verse 41, right, that he talked about how the secret of success in spiritual life is taking the instructions of the spiritual master as one's life and soul. And there's so many instructions. I've actually compiled a small paper of just Prabhupada's quotes about how important it is for devotees not to quarrel, but to cooperate. And a matter of fact, I once did this. I went through the folio and did a word search for the word cooperation. And I cut and pasted into a word file just short clips of Prabhupada using the word cooperation only in a managerial context. If it was about cooperating with the Supreme Lord, I didn't cut and paste that. And I got up to 20 pages of those without going through all of. So one of Prabhupada's main instructions in terms of how ISKCON should be run is in that mood of cooperation. And he told the story of from Aesop's Fables. How many of you are familiar with Aesop's Fables? So few. I thought it would be taught in schools in India, because Prabhupada learned it in school when he was studying in Calcutta. So there's many stories in Aesop's Fables. It goes back thousands of years, actually, Aesop's Fables. But the story is of a father who had many sons. And as we know, especially here in India, the sons don't always get along with each other. The number one, when I was living in India, I used to work in the court system here. And the number one cause of court cases was what they call partition. Right, when the father passes away and the children are fighting over the property. So the father was gathered a bunch of sticks and put them in a bag. And he gave the bag to his sons and said, try to break the sticks. And no one could break the sticks, right? Because they were bunched up in a bag. And then he took it out of the bag and he gave them each one stick, break the stick. Very easy, right? So this was the example in Aesop's Fables that Prabhupada quoted, saying that if we cooperate with each other, if we work together, nothing can break us. But if we don't, then easily snapped. And that's similar to a statement he made where Srila Prabhupada said that ISKCON cannot be harmed ultimately by external problems. Only internally can ISKCON ultimately be harmed. So this Aesop's Fable is one of the instructions that Prabhupada gave. And then Krishna concludes in three more verses, in the ninth verse of this chapter. He says, therefore, no matter which of these thinkers is speaking, and regardless of whether in their calculations they include material elements within their previous subtle causes or else within their subsequent manifest products, I accept their conclusions as authoritative, because a logical explanation can always be given for each of the different theories. So Krishna accepted them all, right? And why? Because although they may have looked at things from a different point of view, they all have the same purpose. That was to explain the Lord, ultimately in this chapter, to explain the Lord's transcendental position. So that was the main purpose. And that's really important. And devotees, devotees in good standing, we have the same goals. We want to please our spiritual master. We want to please Srila Prabhupada. We want to please Radha Vrindavan Chandra and Gaur Nitai and Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. And that's the foremost point. Prabhupada writes that disunity between individual souls is so strong within the material world that even in a society of Krishna consciousness, members sometimes appear disunited due to their having different opinions and leaning towards material things. Actually, in Krishna consciousness, there cannot be two opinions. There is only one goal, to serve Krishna to one's best ability. If there is some disagreement over service, and this is important, listen to this. If there is some disagreement over service, you ready? Yeah? Such disagreement is to be taken as spiritual. Those who are actually engaged in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be disunited in any circumstance. So, anyway, I like that, right? That disagreements amongst devotees should be taken as spiritual. Now, the problem is we don't always do that, right? We focus on the differences that we have with another Vaishnava or Vaishnavi rather than the similarities. So if anyone remembers their Bhagavad Gita in the 18th chapter, which mode of material nature forces us to see differences? Passion, correct? Pretty good. Which one forces us more to see similarities? Yeah, right? That knowledge by which one undivided spiritual nature is seen in all living entities, although there are divided into innumerable forms, or we could say, although there's different opinions, you should understand to be in the mode of goodness. And that knowledge by which one sees that in every different body there is a different type of living entity, you should understand to be in the mode of passion. And also we learn from Prahlad Maharaj, right, so clearly in that seventh canto, to avoid this idea of thinking in terms of friends and enemies. That he says this is, he considers that like the essence of material consciousness, to think in terms of friends and enemies. And Prabhupada writes in that seventh canto, in the conditioned stage, we think that some living beings are our friends, where others are our enemies, and thus we are in duality. In the liberated stage, however, the conception is that God is the master, and that all living entities, being servants of God, are one. So we should, you could even say we should learn to celebrate our differences. It makes things interesting. And we have differences for so many different reasons. Our early training in Krishna consciousness, our purva samskars, so many different reasons are there. But Prabhupada was so clear, he said that every year, the leaders of our society to come together in Mayapur. He said we should come together every year in Mayapur and we should discuss unity and diversity. Every year, he said, leaders should discuss unity and diversity. But if we only focus on the diversity, that's the material platform, he said. So we want diversity, so many different ways of spreading Krishna consciousness. Different ways even of decorating the deities of all within the bona fide boundaries, right? So this unity and diversity, he actually said that will make our movement successful. That will make our movement successful. So there's always going to be differences. The question is how to deal with those differences. This is a little precursor to today's class for the those in the GBC college. So who was right, Narada or Swayambhuva Manu, in terms of giving advice to Priyavrata? Which one of them was right? Thank you. It was a trick question. They were both right, right? Narada Muni wanted him to remain a brahmachari and just be fixed in his spiritual vows, and Swayambhuva Manu wanted him to rule the world also so that Swayambhuva could go to the forest. But they were both right. They both wanted to serve Krishna, and they both wanted the best thing for Priyavrata. Isn't it? Or what about as one of the devotees here brought up the point, the example of who was right, Krishna and Bhima, that wanted Ashwatthama, right? Or Draupadi and Yudhisthira, right? Who said, no, no. Right, so who was right? Right? From different angles of vision, they were both right. And they were both, actually, in both of those examples that we gave, you can quote Shastra to substantiate that point of view. Isn't it? So, what made both of those examples work out peacefully? What was it in those discussions or in the relationships that those great souls had that came out with, I don't know if you call it a win-win, but an agreeable situation, right? Because they both agreed, right? Narada, in the end, Narada said that he wasn't resentful, Prabhupada writes. He wasn't resentful, even though he was defeated by, of course, Lord Brahma, what can you do? If Lord Brahma comes, you're probably going to do what he says, right? Well, let's examine both of those situations. I'd say probably the number one thing is that there was a lot of trust in the relationship, isn't it? Did Narada and Swayambhuva have a trusting relationship? I would think so. And certainly did they both trust Lord Brahma? Very much so, right? And although everyone didn't always agree with Bhima because he was a little, fired up, was there a great trusting relationship between Krishna, Bhima, Draupadi, and Yudhisthira Maharaj? Clearly, right? So in one sense, it was easy to reconcile the differences because there was trust. And I think if we think about it, trust is one of the most important things in getting along with each other. So what we're going to do now, we're going to do a 20-second experiment, okay? So for this, you don't have to do this, but I suggest you close your eyes. And in your mind's eye, think of a person that you really, really trust. Now, don't think of Srila Prabhupada or your Guru Maharaj. Come down a few levels from there. But a person that you really, really trust. Okay? You got that person? Okay. Now, think of someone you really, really, really don't trust. As they say in America, you wouldn't trust him as far as you can throw him. Okay? Okay, now you can open your eyes. Now think about what is the difference. Imagine what the difference is in the communications with those two people. Is it the same? What is the difference? Anyone? Everyone's saying it's different, but you're not saying why. How is it different? Would you say the same thing to both people? Yes, way in the back, our GBC. It'll end up on the front page of a website somewhere, maybe, right? Exactly. Yeah. So one is very open. You can say things openly and you can adjust things as you're talking, whereas you're super careful, right? When you're talking to someone that you don't trust. As a matter of fact, you may not even want to talk to them at all, right? So trust is such an important thing in having the kind of relationships that we want in Krishna consciousness. I think also there was good, clear communications in both cases, right? Narada Muni made his point clearly. Swayambhuva Manu was very clear about what he wanted. Lord Brahma was extremely clear about what he wanted. And Krishna gave very clear instructions to Arjuna. And Bhima gave very clear. So everyone was quite clear. No one was beating around the bush. They were all very clear. And also, important for us, they were all either shastric or quoting shastra. It wasn't speculative. They were actually following shastra. So these are things that gain trust, good communications. And trust is so important if we want to have the kind of society, the kind of communities that we want in Krishna consciousness of, that can foster things like machchita makata prana bodhayantas parasparam katayantas chaman, right? The loving discussions about Lord Krishna. What's that? What's a similar verse in the Nectar of Instruction? Tadati prati guyam akyati prichati, right? And revealing one's mind in confidence, inquiring confidentially. These only happen when there's trust. Right? So then the question could be, what can we do to encourage others to trust us? How can we behave? Yes. Maintain confidentiality. Yes, right. You know how to maintain confidentiality, right? If Prabhuji tells me something, and I go, Prabhu, you promise you won't tell anyone else? Right? And then you go to the next, you promise not telling anyone else? Right. Yes. What else? Yes. You have integrity, walking your talk. Right. There's a saying, what you are speaks so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying. Right? So, yes. Anyway, it's so easy to sit here and give a class. It's really hard to get off of Vyasana and then do what we said we should do in the class afterwards. What else? Yes, Prabhu? Transparency in dealings, yes. Or Prabhupada would call it straightforwardness. Yeah, very good. What else? Yes? Appreciating others. Yeah, very good. Sincerely appreciating others. Yes, very good. Sincerity is important if you think of Prithu Maharaj. When the, what were they called? Suttas? They were glorifying him before he had done what he was going to do. He said, Bhagme, wait a second, wait, let me do it first, yeah. But yes, sincere appreciation. What else? Yes? Yes, when you give trust. Yeah, of course we shouldn't give, we can't, yeah, there's different kinds of, there's no trust, just like I don't trust anyone. Then there's distrust. Then there's blind trust, and we don't really want either, we want, there was an American president who said, trust but verify. Right. So like, you know, if somebody gets caught stealing rupees out of the hundi, we may give him a second chance, but we probably wouldn't make him the treasurer of the temple. Right? Because, you know, trust but or as a good friend of mine, Kadamakana Namaraj, he said once, he said, love and trust. He said, I love everyone. Trust? You have to gain a little bit. But yes, in general, as a general rule, we should assume good intentions of others. Yes, very good. The other thing, yes? Being a well-wisher, yes. Being compassionate, a well-wisher, right. Yes, Prabhu. Not taking credit for, okay, very good, yes. And also not casting blame, right? If we think of Dharma the bull in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, right? Who did this to you? That's a trick question. Not so easy, right? Usually Prabhuji introduced me, so when my wife was the principal of the Gurukul in Vrindavan, sometimes if a child had broke a window in the classroom or something like that, and the teacher called the principal, and so my wife would go in there, who did this? And every child would go like this, you know. They would always, no one took responsibility. So yes, accepting blame sometimes. Also honoring those who aren't present. You know, if someone is speaking ill about someone, well, let's not talk about that person without them being here. Like that. And the other thing about placing blame is what Srila Prabhupada's statement to Peter Burwash, that do not be upset at the agent of your karma. Right? So for us to be successful in Prabhupada's mission, we really need to develop these kinds of trusting relationships in the Sangha of devotees, right? When we have that kind of loving relationships amongst devotees, good communications, expert ways of dealing with differences when they do arise. That is one of the most attractive things to that people will be wanting to join us. Right? I mean, it's wonderful we build big temples, but a lot of other organizations build big temples also, or big edifices in one way or the other. But what? And this is unbelievable how wonderful this temple is. Just amazing. Additionally, our temples have to be a place where people come and they find solace, they find sangha, they find loving exchanges, they find a place where they can deposit their trust, right? Want it, and that really helps them go forward in their spiritual life. So it's important for us to develop these ways of getting along with one another, and this is one of the aspects, one of the powerful aspects of spreading Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. You're supposed to say Hare Krishna. Well, that was kind of weak, but okay. Questions or comments? Anuttama Prabhu. There is a microphone. Do you want to wait? I don't want you to lose your voice.
Sometimes there is the critique that you just presented a very liberal perspective.
A very what perspective?
Liberal perspective.
Liberal.
Inclusive. But actually we know what's right. We know what's right. And therefore we should stand strong on what's right. And if you say, well, you know, that opinion's okay, this opinion's okay. Actually, that in itself means that's a liberal perspective. And I don't accept the liberal perspective, so I reject that. I think we have to get right to the clear truth. And there's one preferred way of doing things. And it's not a question of there's diversity and we should accept diversity. If I accept what you said, I'm just agreeing with the liberal point of view. So I reject that.
Okay. Well, first of all, words like liberal and conservative are really dumb words. At least the way we use them, because they're not accurate. They're not the kind of words that lead to clear thinking, right? Because one person's liberal is another person's conservative, right? Some people think that in America, if I'd tell somebody that, you know, well, we have these four vows, they say, oh my God, that is so conservative. Right? Like that. And there's a logical fallacy called the means between the extremes. And so wherever you place liberal and conservative, it can be different, right? So there is right and there is wrong. Maybe I didn't make that clear enough. I thought I maybe mentioned it just once in passing, that there are boundaries within differences of opinion. Right. So if someone comes in and says, "Well, there is no God," right, or something like that, or "We're all God," then we don't just say, "Well, that's very nice that you have that opinion. I really like that." Yeah, that's one way of looking at the world. Right? No, I mean, we may not, you know, take out a hammer and bash them over the head, but we would say, no, we have a very different view than that, right? Actually, there is God, and that's not you. Yeah, you know, like that. So our having different points of view has to be within Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Right? And that's why I tried to bring that up in the points that when the two examples that we gave of Narada Muni and Swayambhuva Manu, and then also of Ashvatthama, the different opinions about what should be done with him, both could certainly be substantiated by Shastra, the two opinions in both of those examples. So that is there. Well, let me see. It's an interesting question, Anuttama Prabhu. Because if we look at, now one could, Srila Prabhupada's instructions, he was really concerned about these things. For example, I am very concerned, however, that in the midst of such good reports, the devotees there are quarreling. This report is not very good. We have so much work to do. You cannot lose our solidarity. Do not cause a crack there with any fighting spirit or competition. When I hear complaints or disturbances in our center, my mind becomes too much disturbed and I cannot properly translate my books. So please spare me from such disturbances by cooperating all together, God brothers and God sisters. And then I like this one. He has this long letter, and then at the end he said, stop this fighting. Tolerate. and then just, you know, this one instruction is such a power. Of course, it's, you know, you have to look always at the entire body of Srila Prabhupada's instructions on any topic. But when he says every year the leaders should come to Mayapur and discuss unity and diversity, which is what you're saying, that's not liberal or conservative, there's going to be diversity, there's going to be differences of opinions. And how we maintain unity, and how he says this will be the success of our movement. And if we don't do that, if we fight over diversity, that's the material platform. That's quite a strong statement in favor of not labeling conservative, liberal, or whatever, but actually labeling all members of ISKCON who may have different approaches to certain things and trying to appreciate those points of view. At the very least, we should really try to appreciate someone else's viewpoint before saying, I disagree. But sometimes we just disagree, like, almost causelessly. Is that all right? I had to meander a little bit to get to that, but yeah. Other questions, comments? We have a whole 4 minutes. Because this here says, you must stop exactly at 8:55. Or else no prasadam for the speaker. Yes, Boo, you have a microphone? Microphone? And you get all the exercise. But he gets a little lazy at the end and hands it away.
Hare Krishna, Guruji. So we discussed about how we can gain trust of another person by being confidential in various things. So how can we place our trust on someone who may not be trustworthy?
Well, if someone really isn't trustworthy, then it wouldn't be very intelligent to place trust in them.
And if there is like some case like...
At the same time, it would depend, so much depends on desha kalapada, the time, the place, and the circumstance. But sometimes, you know, without putting ourselves in a dangerous position, without handing them our debit card or something like that, we might give a person a chance to and say, listen, I'm giving you a chance to be trustworthy. I think you can do it. And sometimes that becomes what they call like a self-fulfilling prophecy. They feel inspired that another devotee has trusted them and they'll want to do that. But, you know, it depends on the situation. Right? But we wouldn't trust someone who's acted untrustworthy we probably wouldn't put them immediately in a position of responsibility, especially responsibility over other people. Right? Yes, so trust is something that it's an interesting concept because it usually builds up gradually, but it can be broken quickly. And I think, I know for myself, and I don't know where this came from, but when I was given the Prabhupada Lilamrita, I heard you distributed 12 sets of them yesterday, or 81 sets of them yesterday. Was it 81? 81? You did it? Oh, 81 sets, amazing. I just, somehow or other, just immediately trusted Prabhupada, just reading about him. And he acted in such a trustworthy way. Right? One reporter was trying to, you know, say that Prabhupada was taking advantage of his disciples because they only slept 6 or 7 hours a day. Right? And then so the person, how many hours do you sleep? Prabhupada said, you know, I think he said, you know, 2.5, 3 hours at most, something like that. You know, but the point was they were trying to catch him in being untrustworthy by demanding something. But actually, Prabhupada, or in Allahabad in 77 at the Kumbh Mela, right? Prabhupada would set the example, even though it was close, he was only 10 months later that he left this world. He attained samadhi. He was already in samadhi. But every morning, he was taking, you know, anyone been to Allahabad in January? Is it nice and warm? No, it's very cold. It's very cold. And he was taking cold bath just to set that example for the devotees. So that was one of a billion ways that he inculcated trust in us, that he looked at the austerities he did to come on the Jaladuta. Who would do that? 70 years old, 2 heart attacks. So for us, whatever we can do, we can surrender, and we want to surrender and fulfill this mission, Prabhupada's mission, but we always know there's this gold standard, platinum standard of Prabhupada that, you know, that inspires us to surrender. Okay, it is time. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.